Hi, welcome to the Sophia Talk Show. This is a podcast all about books, movies, anything fantasy related or fiction books related. I am Sophia Simpson. I will be your host and I will be bringing on lots of guests, including authors and readers and non-readers alike. And every once in a while, I'll bring in a serious topic or two. And I hope you enjoy this show as much as I've enjoyed recording it. Oh, and by the way, I'm a young adult Christian fantasy author, which explains the book talk. And on that note, I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, my friends. This is Sophia Simpson coming to you today with a fantastic interview with none other but Philip Wilder. He is a two-time published author of two nonfiction books, Single Isn't Second Best, and Discovering God's Calling. So please welcome my guest, Philip Wilder, to the show. I'm just going to have us jump into a conversation I had with Philip the other day, and I hope you enjoyed as much as I did.
So the book I'm working on is book two of an Elemental series. Book one came out Valentine's Day of this year, and I set a pre-order date for a year from now and for the book two to come out. But then I got a conversation with NBC at a writer's conference that I highly recommend. Okay. It's not too far from you. It's in California. It's closer than it is to me anyway. And it's called the Inspire Conference, and she's always there, and she's looking. They have a new division at NBC for clean and Christian content.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I pitched to her my book Tara, and which is a Christian fantasy, and she loved it. She ended up reading the book, and but she's like, I can't really do anything with it until you finish the series. I'm like aggressively attacking this book, trying to get a move on, because it's going to be a 4-book series. So I've got a lot of work. Yeah. I've got a lot of work ahead of me. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but I'm so happy to talk to you. I spotted you on Instagram, I think it was, and I was like, oh my gosh, my teens would love him. They would love him. And then I saw the books that you have out, the nonfiction books, which I think are so cool.
Thank you.
They're so cool. Yeah. When did you write?
Let's see. Discovering God's Calling, I wrote in 20. I finished writing 2020. Okay. And then Single Isn't Second Best, I finished that one in 2022. Yeah, last year. About, we launched it almost exactly a year ago to date. So
you got to tell me a little bit about those books. So those books, I know one is about dating and
technically no.
No, not about dating. Okay, tell
it's
me more.
It's not about dating. Okay. So the title is Single Isn't Second Best.
Okay.
And basically the idea behind that is just kind of birthed out of my own past and experience. Mm-hmm. I've been doing missions work for quite some time, and a lot of people just kind of assume, well, I don't know, there's just some interesting responses that I got from people in the church. So I'd tell people that I'm doing missions work, and then they talk to me like, oh, you're really cool. Are you dating someone? And I'd be like, no. And they're like, what? Really? Why not? Be like, well, I'm really sorry. And it's like, sorry? Like, so that I'm not dating someone? Like, and I mean, like, deep down, I really did want to be dating someone. I mean, I'm married now, so there's the end of that story. But the frustrating part was, like, the Bible doesn't say that, like, marriage is better than singleness. It does say marriage is a gift, but it also says singleness is a gift.
Yeah.
And so just kind of like that concept, like all of my supporters, like so many of them were like, well, we're praying you find someone. Is like, wow, that's very nice of you. But at the same time, like, it's more important that you pray that I will be satisfied in Christ. Like, that's ultimately where my hope and satisfaction is going to come from, not from a spouse. And so it just seems like there's a big blind spot in the church. So that's why, I mean, that wasn't initially why I wanted to write it. I started, do you know Connie White?
Mm-mm.
So are you part of Realm Makers at all?
I'm on their Facebook page, but that's
okay.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So Connie White posted on their Facebook page saying, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book on singleness. This is kind of what I'd like it to be about. And so when I read that, I was like, oh, that'll be a good book. Like, yeah, yeah, you should definitely write that. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading some of the comments and I was like, she in her post, she's like, please, like, let me know what else you think I should include in this book. Like, what are some important topics that should be in this? And that yeah. whole post got a total of like 400 comments. Wow. And so I was reading through those comments and I was like, oh my gosh, like this sounds like exactly what I would love to write. Like, this is like so close to my heart. Like, I've experienced so much of this. And so I asked her if I could be a part of it. I was like, hey, I don't know you, but I'd love to be a part of this.
Oh, so you co-wrote that book?
Yeah, so we co-wrote it together. And oh,
I did not realize. I'm glad you mentioned that,
because yeah,
was not gonna give the proper credit to both of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Connie's amazing. She like basically funded the whole thing, and she's so nice. But it was a pleasure working with her. So, anyways, technically, it's not about dating, though. There are some dating tips, but like not very many.
Well, now a lot of my teens that listen to this podcast, they, first of all, I want to welcome you to my podcast. Normally I have my mic and I've got my whole setup and everything, but like with, when it comes to the Zoom recordings, I don't know how to set that all up. So I just don't, but, anyway, I wanted to thank you very much for being a part of this. This is really great. No, but my podcast listener, my son is 17 and he's got this awesome group of friends and they just love to like be on my podcast. They all listen to it. We have a lot of fun together. Like his little group of friends and I'm going to just follow them all when they go to college. I just have decided. But a lot of them, there's a lot that aren't in the church. So when you're talking about like the whole church atmosphere and everything, I'm not sure a lot of them are going to really understand that. So,
okay, that's good to know. Thanks for.
Yeah. So, I'm sure some do, but like trying to get my son to go to Wednesday night church service is like, I really desire for him to do it, but just his friends just don't go. So he doesn't have a friend group and he doesn't feel confident and comfortable. And anyway, that's a whole nother story. I still am hoping that they all will end up at a Wednesday night church youth group. And since you said you're a part-time youth pastor,
yeah,
and you also train pastors, so I'm sure you hear this a lot, but I'm just hoping that you can like just introduce them with some elements of what you've written that maybe like some really great like life tips and maybe introduce them to what they're missing possibly. Mm-hmm.
What they're missing as far as in the church and Christianity or in my books?
Definitely both. So okay. Yeah, because I would love for them to pick up copies of your books and read your words about those two very important topics. Yeah, but you know, maybe give them a heads up on what they're missing in a church service or Wednesday night group even.
Well, I think maybe a better way to reach them would be sharing what the church is missing in the Bible and in Christianity, because I think, unfortunately, a lot of church has kind of become like a book club. You know, like think about the things that Christians do. And most of those things are things that like women would gather together to do. You know, it's like we get together to hear somebody speak and then we all sing together. Or for a Bible study, we get a book together, we all sit down, we talk about our feelings, we talk about our past, we talk about how it impacts us, what we think about it, and like none of that's bad, but like I think American Christianity has become feminine, and that's a side of what the church was always supposed to be, but I think we've missed out on the side that really makes men like passionate and excited about it. And you can just look at the church numbers and see that that's very easily reflected in the church, and that there are a whole lot more women in the church than there are guys.
Wow.
And I think that's why. I mean, I'm not going to say conclusively that that's why. I haven't done a study on all of it, but anyway, so that's kind of why. I mean, there's a number of reasons why I write, but I really want to write to reach young guys. So
yeah,
sounds like the perfect podcast, just because hopefully I can give them a vision of what God desires to do in their lives.
Maybe tell us a little bit more about that. Like, what would you tell my young guys that are listening to this? Like, just,
I would tell them, don't look at the church to see what Christianity is. Look at the Bible, because if you look at the Bible, and a lot of girls really don't like this, but if you look at the Bible, there are guts and glory and battles. Mm-hmm. And like, there are very disgusting things, like a guy stabbing a guy with a sword and his fat swallows it over, like, gross. But also, that's pretty crazy. Okay. And I think, like, God didn't design Christianity to be a passive thing. He designed it to be a mission, a calling, an adventure. And I mean, like, that's what every guy wants to be a part of, you know? Like, what you've probably heard this numerous times from your son and from others who watch your podcast. But one of the biggest sorrows of men, I think, is that the world has been explored.
Yes,
you know, it's like everything's tame now, everything's figured out. Oh, now we have all these legal things, have harnesses, helmets, everything is like safe. And that just doesn't really appeal to guys. Like, I mean, it does in a sense. Like, we do want to be safe, we don't want to get hurt, we do want to be comfortable, but like, there's another side of men, or at least the side of me, that just wants to be unleashed. And it's like, I just want to go crazy. Like, let me climb this thing. Stop telling me I can't climb these buildings. I want to go and climb things, jump off of things, and explore things, and do things that maybe people tell me I don't want to do. And that's not because I just want to break the law. It's just because I don't want to be bound by all these laws.
Yeah. It reminds me of that book, Wild at Heart. Like, that was a big book when my husband and I were in college.
Yeah.
And it, I read that book and the, just thinking of, and I, it really opened my eyes as a wife that my husband needs to be free to do those things that he wants to do, and give, like, just give him that freedom. I mean, I think about too, like, not just climbing walls and caves, exploring caves and stuff like that. Like, that's all there too. But like, I think about like my son is thinking about, it's his senior year. He's a golfer and he was a basketball player, but then he quit basketball to focus on golf. And now his, all summer long, all the guys in his group have been playing basketball almost every night this summer. And they all, like, a few of them want to try out for the team, and one in particular, he hasn't been on a team for high school, and I'm so excited for him. Like, I want him to just do it. Like, don't be afraid, take the leap, you know. And I can just see, I can just tell you would tell them the same thing. Like, don't be afraid to take a chance, to take a chance.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, now tell me a little bit about Discover God's Calling. So what made you want to write that book? And like, just tell me a little bit about that book, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of emails and messages from people asking me, like, how do you know what God's calling you to do? And so I was like, oh, that's a good question. And so I started just writing blogs about it. And I just realized after a little while, I was like, this needs to be a book. And so I started creating a book. And basically the process is like kind of walking through my process, because like, I know what God wants me to do. And like, I want to do that thing. And it was a whole long process to get there, but an exciting process too. And so I just kind of wanted to walk people through my journey, as well as through patterns that we see in the Bible, and just give people practical steps of like, do this, do this, do this, do this. Because the Bible is very clear that God has a specific calling for each person. He has a general calling for everyone, but he also has a specific calling for each person. And it's not a calling that you're going to understand what it is just by sitting in your room asking God to give you a calling, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe if that's what God's calling you to do, but typically it requires baby steps of faith, and you just keep growing in those steps and keep taking those steps, and then gradually, as you take those steps, you start to realize what you're passionate in and start to find out what God might actually be directing you to do in order to make a difference in this world, because this world needs young men to step up. I mean, the world needs young women too, but especially young men to step up and live out their calling, because there it is a great battle, and we need to fight. And so my passion is just to see young guys step out in their faith and live according to how God's called them to live, whatever that might be. Maybe it means going and doing missions work. Maybe it means joining a basketball team. Maybe it means recognizing, oh, all my friends are joining basketball, but actually I really like photography, or I really like stop motion videos, or I really like geology. I don't know. Whatever it is, like, find those things. And there's some steps that I give as far as like, okay, take these things that you love doing, and how can you glorify God through that? Because it's not just about doing the things that we love doing. It's about serving God with our passions and with our giftings, and using that to make his name known. And as we partner our passion with making God's name known, that's when we start to hit the sweet spot.
Well, that's one thing that I'm not sure a lot of my listeners really understand, that they are gifted with something. I don't know if they've even like been told that in their life. Like, I'm sure they've been told that they're great kids and they're special, but like, but that the fact that they are gifted with something, like, that might be a concept they're not familiar with. So
we could talk a little bit about my upbringing. Because it took me a little while to recognize that, because I have two older brothers that were just really cool and everybody liked them. And so I wanted to be just like them. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I thought God messed up in how he made me, because I wasn't them. I wasn't as good as they were. And it took me a little while to realize, like, oh yeah, I'm not as good as they are in these things, but that's because God's gifted me in these things. And that's awesome. I'd rather be good at these things than at those things. So we can talk more about that too, if you want.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Because I think that's a big part of growing up and identifying who you are. And the fact that, and I just want to maybe remind some of the listeners that they are very well known by God. God knows everything about them, and he knows exactly what would be an amazing part of their lives. And it's because he's gifted them. He's gifted them with certain gifts. And so, like, what would you say some gifts would be? Like, I know the Bible talks about like teaching and encouraging, and I'm trying to think of them all. Like, maybe you can help me.
Those are fruits of the Spirit, which are definitely gifts. But I guess gifting's more so, I would say, like, just unique talents that people have. For example, like, just being passionate about geology, you know, that could be a huge gifting. If that's something that you love doing, like, you can definitely make God's name known through geology. Like, look, this rock is incredible. It can do this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And like, that's amazing. God is an incredible architect, you know? And so just something as simple as that, like, it's so weird. Like, the things that people like just blows me away. You know, like, I love writing books. And my sister tells me all the time, like, Philip, I do not understand why you enjoy this. Like, why would you enjoy writing a book? And I was like, I don't know. I honestly cannot answer that question. Like, I do not know why I like it so much, but I do. So, like, you can make God's name known through a whole bunch of different ways. And like, for example, okay, my sister, this, like, is case in point what I'm talking about here. She downloaded this app where you clean people's teeth, like digital teeth, not actual real people's teeth. She downloaded this app, And you would do the same thing over and over and over and over. There's no variation. It wasn't even supposed to be a game, really. But she downloaded this thing, and you would you'd just be doing the same thing over and over. And she loved it. And it's like, this makes no sense. Why do you love this thing? And she just loved cleaning teeth and putting these braces on. And like, God has just made every single person so unique. And so, it's just like, you know, these giftings, of course, God wants us to encourage others. He wants us to uplift others. He wants us to help others be discerning. You know, there's tons of things that God wants us to do in how to use these gifts, but the gifts are like unending, you know, like just the different things that people love. Like, I like writing books. Some people love editing books. Other people love designing book covers. And it's like, good for you. I hate both those, you know, like I just want to write. If I could just write a first draft and send it off to an agent, an editor or whatever, like that would be awesome. But that's a future time.
So, well, I think about my, I have a 20 year old in college right now, and he was going into his senior year, and he's like, Mom, I want to buy some books. And I'm like, I was a librarian. I'm a writer. Like, and my kids don't like to read, neither one of them. The only books they really read were Harry Potter. So I was like, yes. And so I'm running to Books A Million with him. And he walks over, and he's just kind of meandering around. And he walks over to the brain section and the neurological like book section. And he just sits down on the floor, and he's got piles of books around him of all these books he wants to buy about the brain. And I'm like, where did this come from? Are you kidding? Like, this really interests you? And we ended up buying like 4 or 5 books that day. And they were like really heavily discussed, deep thoughts about all functions of the brain and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, you like the brain. Okay. So he ended up, based on those books, he read them over the summer. He went into college. He's like, I want to be pre-med. I want to do either neurological science or psychiatry or something like that. So I was just like, I don't know. Maybe we can talk a little bit about how do teens go about like exploring what gifts like are they would like. I mean, I hate to say should or usually, but like some probably know. Have an idea of what they really like at this point by the time they're 17, 18, you know. But like, I mean, maybe one way they can explore their gift is do what my son did. Go into Books A Million or Barnes & Noble or any bookstore and just browse and see what catches their fancy, you know. Do you have any other suggestions for them? Like just maybe talking to older guys and, you know, old people who are older than them about their experiences maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I think first of all, like we have to not fear is the first step. If you're afraid, then no matter what happens, like it's just going to keep you caged in. That's what fear does. It always keeps you caged in, unless if it's like a healthy fear, which I would probably more so describe as concern, like being concerned, like, oh, well, what if this happens? Like, okay, well, take that concern, weigh that concern, and decide whether or not that concern is something that should determine your actions or if it's just a distraction. And so if somebody's afraid, though, it's going to be really hard to find the things that you love doing because you're going to be really afraid to try new things. You're going to be really afraid to fail at something new. What are people going to think? What are they going to say? What if you mess up really bad? You know, and if you have that fear, it's just going to be crippling you. So my first step is do not be afraid. You know, the Bible says that over and over and over and over. And that's one of that's the main concept behind the book that I'm working on right now. But do not be afraid. And then try things. Even if you think you're going to hate it, just try it. Like you need to just experiment with all these different random things. Like I have tried playing basketball and, you know, it's fun, but I like Ultimate Frisbee way more. But I wouldn't know that if I never played basketball. Right. And so I had to be willing to at least play basketball a few times to be able to recognize like I'm really bad at this. And Ultimate Frisbee is just way more fun. Like I love getting to chase down a disc. Call me a dog if you will, you know, but Like running with a basketball, that's neat. Jumping really high is cool, though I cannot jump very high. But like chasing down a frisbee is awesome. And so, mm-hmm. or a football even. So all that, like,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know that I really liked Ultimate Frisbee and what I liked about Ultimate Frisbee unless if I was willing to try other sports.
Yeah.
And so you just need to be willing to try and to fail, because you're like, mm-hmm. how are you ever going to know if you love stand-up comedy unless if you try it and find out I am so bad at this and that was just terrifying and not fun at all.
I'm very sorry to interrupt this podcast. We had a little bit of difficulty about whether the podcast was recording. I'm so sorry to Philip for this miscommunication. And I'm going to jump into a conversation we were having about whether we are irreplaceable. Enjoy.
If you could, don't mind repeating yourself, because I had said that I love that when you say that we are irreplaceable. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that again.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are irreplaceable. There's a common thought in the church that God is almighty, God is all powerful, and he'll bring about the things that he wants to bring about, whether we are a part of it or not. And, you know, most of that is true. God is powerful. He is almighty. He will bring about his end goal. But the problem with that is it eliminates our agency in all of it. And the more you read the Bible, the more you see that people have agency in all of it. Like when God is prophesying about the people of Israel, he says, look, if you do not turn from these wicked ways, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, God knows what will happen, but he is still giving them that option to turn. You know, like with Nineveh, he sends Jonah to Nineveh and says, look, in 3 days, the city will be destroyed unless you guys repent. And they repent and mm-hmm. God doesn't destroy it, you know. And mm-hmm. so we do have agency, even in the call of Peter. You know, Jesus tells Peter to cast down his net on the other side. And Peter, I could just imagine him in that moment being like, Jesus, like, come on, I've been fishing all night. I know how this works. I'm not catching anything. It's just not a good day for fishing. If I cast my net again, nothing's going to happen. But then he's mm-hmm. like, but you know what? Since you're staring at me like that, I'll do what you want me to do and I'll cast my net. And so he casts his net and he catches a boatload of fish, literally, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. not even figuratively there, a boatload of fish. And if Peter had never cast that net, he would mm-hmm. have never caught those fish.
Mm-hmm.
Would Jesus still have had 12 disciples? Yes. Would Peter have been one of those 12 disciples? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so God wants to use us. God has a plan and he will bring about that plan. But the course of getting to that path, to that spot, is using everyone listening to this podcast. God wants to use us, and it will, God's plan will look different if we say no.
Mm.
But God has gifted us in unique ways to mm-hmm. be able to bring out that future, that end goal that God desires. And I mean, the funny thing is, this like blows my mind. And I know it definitely should blow my mind. It should blow everyone's mind. The fact that people go on journeys of self-discovery, like mm-hmm. you're going on this adventure to discover who you are
mm-hmm.
because you don't know who you are, which is such an interesting concept that we don't know who we are, which then begs the question of who does know who we are and mm-hmm. why is it that we don't get to choose who we are? Why is it that we don't get to choose the things we like? Why is it that we don't get to choose whether we're strong or slim or tall or short? Like, we don't get to choose these things. Sure. Mm-hmm. We can grow in each of these, you know, even the weakest person can work out and grow stronger and the strongest person cannot work out and grow weaker, mm-hmm. but we are all gifted with different special abilities. And mm-hmm. I think there is no one, for all of you listening, there is no one on this planet that can be a better you. You are you for a reason, and no one can top that. And that's mm-hmm. a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this a bit before while we were talking, Sophia, but I had two older brothers who were just awesome. They're really, really cool. And I really wanted to be like them. And I tried super hard to be like them, but all I ended up becoming was a very insecure me. And it took a little while of me kind of fumbling and working along until I started finding things that I was good at that my older brothers didn't even like doing. And when I realized that, I started realizing like, oh, I'm just a different person. Like God's made me unique. And I started pursuing those things like writing, like speaking. And I just loved it. And neither my older brothers like writing or speaking. And that's okay. They're good at their own things. But God made me to be unique. And when I'm living out of that uniqueness, that's when I come the most alive. And that's when I can glorify God's name the most, because I'm using the strengths he's given me to make his name known. And so the books that I desire to write, that I feel God putting on my heart, these aren't books that anyone else can write. No one else can write these books because they aren't me. They haven't lived through the same experiences as me. And so God can only use me to write these books. Now, if I said no, God could use somebody else to bring about this end goal, but then I would miss out on the whole process. I would miss out on getting to be a part of what God is doing. And very likely, you know, like, it's easy to think that if I don't follow God, God will find someone else to perfectly fit in that space, you know, to bring about this end goal that he wants. And that's just not how it works. You know, if I say no, people are going to be separated from God for an eternity. If I say yes, those unique people will get to hear Jesus' name and will respond to that. You know, I mean, it, and it might not be just that. It could just be that more Christians are encouraged, whatever it is. But God can bring about his end goal. But if we say no, there are consequences, not just to us, but in others' lives. And so it is important that we step. We are invaluable. Yes, God desires to use everyone, but he has a unique spot for us that no one else can fulfill. You know, it's like a football team. And this is one of the reasons why I love football, is because every single position on the football team is so valuable. You know, you don't have the running backs. Okay, well, now all you can do is throw it or do QB rushes, you know, and the defense is going to be blocking that. And that's going to become really hard. Or, oh, you have an awesome quarterback, but you have a terrible offensive line. He's never going to be able to do his job either. Like every single person on the field is required to play their role in order for the team to do well. If one person isn't playing their role, if one person in the defensive line isn't stopping the rushers, then the whole thing falls apart. And so God's plan won't necessarily fall apart, but it will not be as effective and as great and glorious if we aren't willing to step up and to step into what God is calling us to do. And so I'm sure you can kind of see like the both camps have nuggets of truth in that. Yes, God is all powerful. No, he does not need us per se. God is fine on his own. He'll bring about his end goal on his own. But at the same time, God wants us, and he does need us in a sense to bring about certain parts of that goal. So I don't know quite where the line is with all of that, but those two things are very clear. God doesn't need us, but God also does need us.
Well, I think about the 12 disciples and how different they all were. You know, they all had their own gifts and talents, and God knew exactly what those were. And by them saying yes to following Jesus, they were starting a mission that became like worldwide and amazing. Like they spread the news just through 12, starting with 12 disciples. I know there weren't just 12. I know he had more followers than that, but it was the 12 that really started it all. And it's just awesome to think about, you know, that such a small number can make centuries and centuries and centuries of knowing God, knowing who Jesus is, you know? So, and the fact that Jesus wants to be so personal with us, you know, he was so personal with his disciples, and it's the same with, as with us, you know, he wants to be personal with us. He wants to know us. He wants to spend time with us, and he wants us to spend time with him. So, yeah, for sure.
One more thing to add to that.
Sure.
And this is kind of a mindset that we can so easily slip into. You know, there are millions of Christians all around the world. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it's very easy to think like God can use someone else.
Mm.
You know, I've actually had someone say like pray to God and be like, God, like, I'm not good enough. Don't use me. Use Philip instead. And it's like, what? That's so okay. Like, no. You need to be a part of this too. Like,
yeah.
There's a weird psychological phenomena in that the more people you get in a room, the less likely anyone's going to help the one person in need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if somebody's bleeding out on the ground and there's a whole bunch of people in the room, the more people there are, the less likely anyone is going to step down and help. If there's just one person in the room, that person most likely will go and help that person who's in need. Mm-hmm. Because the mindset there between all of that is there's a whole bunch of people in the room. All those people are thinking somebody else will help.
Yeah.
You know, where if there's only one person in the room, they're like, oh, shoot, I'm the only one here. Like, I need to help this person. Like, this,
right.
This is on me. Like, I can't pass this off to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Christians, it's very easy for us to think like, oh, well, God will use someone else. I don't need to do this. But realistically, like, no, God wants to use you. Like, we are all responsible before God. And I don't like saying it as like a command, even though it is definitely a command, but it's more of like an opportunity. You know, like, imagine if like some very influential leader came to you and said, hey, Sophia, you are the only one gifted in this unique way to bring about this end goal. Like, I need you to do this thing. Like, mm-hmm. that'd be so flattering and so exciting. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what God is doing with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the interest, I've studied a lot of different religions. And the really interesting thing about Christianity is we already have eternity promised.
Yeah.
You know, with Jesus's death and resurrection and us trusting that's in awesome. Him and asking him to save us from our sins, you know, like, we have eternity promised. In all other religions, the point of the religion is to get to eternity.
Wow.
That's what all the rules are set in place for. Like, get to eternity, do this thing, do that thing, don't do this thing, don't do that thing, so mm-hmm. you can get to eternity. But we already have that promise. So you could look at it as like, oh, our end goal is already done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think God does that intentionally because he doesn't want the end goal to be our reward. He wants the end goal to be us helping other people find that reward as well, too. So yeah. It's like that our personal end goal is done. Like, that's, we don't even need to worry about that anymore. Right. Now we get to spend the rest of our lives drawing closer to Jesus and mm-hmm. helping others draw closer to Jesus as well too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, I think that God intentionally designed it that way because he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. You know, mm-hmm. if there's a whole group of people climbing up a mountain with huge backpacks on their shoulders, and everyone's struggling, everyone's having a hard time, but no one can help each other because they all have their own packs.
Right.
Like, I'm already like dying under this burden. I can't help anyone else because I'm dying. Mm-hmm. But now say, I don't know, God takes somebody's backpack and puts it at the top of the mountain and says like, hey, no, you don't need to worry about that anymore. So now go help all of them. And you're like, oh my gosh, hey, I can help them now. Like, okay, let me hold your hand. Let me help you up over this rock. Let me carry part of your pack for you. And mm-hmm. so, like, we can make it seem like God is commanding us to do this thing, but really it's like God is inviting us into this great adventure with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if God can make food taste as good as it does, if God can make sunsets as beautiful as they are, or
mm-hmm.
All the different things that God has made that's so wonderful and amazing,
mm-hmm.
surely he can make lives beautiful too if mm-hmm. we follow him. And if you read the Bible, you see that that's exactly the case. Like, God makes beautiful lives also, but we can only live those beautiful lives if we respond to God and say, yes. So it's not even just like, oh, God needs me, or oh, God doesn't need me. It's like, I want God. Like, I want to follow God's path. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of missionary biographies and they're incredible. Like mm-hmm. reading through them, like Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, William Carey, there's a bunch of different missionaries that I love. Oh, Bruce Olson, that one's awesome. Reading all these different missionaries, I just like thought one day, like, how could I not live life like that? Because that is life. And I see so many people who are not living. I see so many people who do not have exciting lives, but that is an exciting life that I want to live. And so for all of you listening, like, that is my heart's call. I want you to step out and live that adventure because it is there. It is just as accessible to you. Yeah, maybe the world is for the most part explored, but there are some amazing adventures for you to step out on. But what it requires is you giving up yourself and trusting God. It's not about you anymore. It's about following God. And that's when it gets really exciting.
That's awesome. Well, you just answered my last question. So my last question was, if you could directly tell a teen or young adult any piece of advice, what would it be? You just said it.
Yeah. I mean, I would partner that with don't be afraid. You know, like, this world has taught us to be selfish, has taught us to be indulgent.
Yeah.
And has taught us to only do the safe things, and fear always trapped us in a prison. Safety and comfort are the enemies of adventure and exciting lives. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you always have to be unsafe or always have to be uncomfortable, but typically those are the things that draw us in, like, oh, should I do this thing? Oh, that's going to be really hot and sweaty and not very fun at all. Like, or I could stay inside and like just like watch this movie. That'll be way more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But the adventure is always the one that's less safe, less comfortable, and probably a whole lot more scary. And so I would just say, like, don't let safety and comfort deceive you, because there are days that I'm sure all of you watching, you can look back at and be like, what did I do? Mm-hmm. There are also adventures that you've stepped out on that were terrible. Like, I one time floated down the river with my friend. Both of our tubes popped, so we made a raft and tried floating down the river. And then the raft broke apart and was just way too big, and the water was too low. And so we had to walk down the river, and then we had to run down a path, and there were mosquitoes everywhere. It was terrible. But I remember that day.
Yeah.
And you're far more engaged with me telling you this story than if I told you about the day that I just stayed at home and watched movies and played video games all day. You know, like...
Right.
I've done that before. I don't remember those days. I just remember I've done that. You know, those aren't days that I remember or look back at and think like, yeah, that was a good day. Like, but this really uncomfortable adventure that we went on, like, that was a story.
Yeah.
That was really crazy. And it's always fun looking back at it because of how it was. And so I just don't want all of you listening to have boring lives. I don't want that. And I don't think God wants that for you either. Unfortunately, I think the church has done a poor job at helping us see that we can live adventurous lives, but they are there. And your adventurous life is going to look way different than another's, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's a very, very good point. Well, I have absolutely loved talking to you, and I'm sorry that I was so jumbled in my introduction and everything. Anyway, I'm sorry that I
no, you're didn't good. Tell Thanks you for I was having
recording
me.
For the Been podcast. Fun. No, yeah. And you are just as amazing as I thought you'd be. And I know that my listeners are going to love hearing your words of advice. So thank you so, so much.
Well, thank you for doing this podcast and reaching these young guys. Sounds like you're doing something really good. And I can't wait to listen to more of your podcasts.
Thanks so much. Well, good luck with everything. And I can't wait to hear if your book gets accepted. We'll all be praying for you.
Yes, thank you.
Sure. All right, Phil, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You just heard some amazing thoughts by Philip Wilder. I am so honored to have spoken with him and had such a great conversation about discovering God's calling in your life. And I hope that it benefited you as much as it benefited me. And I also hope that his future endeavors as a fantasy writer become extremely successful, and that he finds everything he's looking for in that genre, because we know that his attempts at nonfiction were just as amazingly done. And I hope you will pick up his two books, Discovering God's Calling and the one he co-wrote with C.E. White called Single Isn't Second Best. You can pick them up on Amazon today, an ebook and paperback. And Single Isn't Second Best can be found in audiobook as well. Again, thank you for joining me on the Sophia Talk Show, and I hope you'll come back next time when I will be interviewing fantasy author AJ Skelly, and she is amazing. I cannot wait to pick her brain on all things fantasy. Thanks again.